Thank you, everyone. It's great to be amongst you again. I was wondering who your guest speaker was going to be there for a minute. I thought, I don't recognise who that person is. It is fabulous once more to be with God's people, to be worshipping the Lord, and to be in a house that's warm, full of love and faith. Amen. I've got my new bifocals on. Oh, I can see sometimes now. I was saying to my wife, you know, honey, you are as beautiful as the day I met you. And then I put my glasses on. I said, oh, you have changed. She hit me. That's what I probably deserved. I got my photo taken today coming down the freeway. Yeah, I know, and I'm feeling really ripped off. Ripped off. Because it wasn't me. Am I getting any sympathy yet? I have a new car, and it has on it a device known as adaptive cruise control. I love it, because you put in the speed that you want to do, and if the car in front of you goes slower, you don't have to hit the brake, you don't have to hit the accelerator, it just automatically slows down. I never worked out, though, what would happen if all of a sudden it went out of your lane and all of a sudden I went from 80 kilometres to 100 kilometres and there's my photo taken. Oh, I've got sympathy now. That's so good. Who likes having your photo taken? Not that way. Who likes getting a warning? You know, are you one of those drivers when you're driving down the road and someone flashes their lights and you say, thank you? Or are you one of those people who are going driving down the road and you see the policeman and his camera there and you see someone else coming the other way and you don't flash your lights? So you're thinking, you deserve it. If you're speeding, you deserve to get the fine. Are you one of those? Or are you a flasher or are you a non-flasher? Who likes the warnings? The idea being of a warning is that we have perhaps that wonderful ability to actually to learn and to make adjustments based on a warning. Much of the scripture is a warning from God to tell us what we can do and what we can't do and how that might help us to live more successful lives. So I have a video which I'll just put up, and it's an interesting, just a viral piece. And I just think it's so inspiring in the sense that this is a woman who in her whole life has never heard anything. And now for the very first time through a cochlear implant, she's going to hear. And I think it's just an amazing thing to watch. So thank you for the boys up there. Thank you. It was going a little bit. Working hard. Okay, well, while we're getting into that space, they're going to work quite hard. And just need to see the screen.
Oh, it moved. It's like so close. There you go. We're not right over it. There you go.
It's beeping.
So now technically your device is on. Can you tell? Oh, that's exciting! Here, you can put it down for a second. Just get used to the sound. What does it sound like? Do you want to grab some tissue? Why are you crying? Can you hear me? Can you hear your voice? Does your voice sound pretty loud?
No, not really.
What's going on? My laughter sounds loud. Yeah, you'll get used to all of that over time. Do you want to hear your husband say something?
Apparently she likes tissues. It's a profound moment, isn't it? Could you imagine being alive for 29 years and not hearing anything at all? And that moment when that audible faculty begins to open. It's so powerful. It's life-changing quite literally. And my prayer today is that everyone who's here today will have a moment like that with God. That one word from God today will change your life forever. I know there are some Christians who struggle at times to say, I can't hear the word of God. I'm not sure when he's talking to me and whatever. But my plan today is that with God's help, you will hear from God today for you. How revolutionary that would be if God was to speak to you. Can you say, yeah, God speak to me? I'm going to put my listening ears on and I want to hear from God today for me, for my life, for my generation, for my children, for my job. One word from God. Amen? So I'm going to take a slightly interesting way into that particular idea through the book of Luke in chapter 13. Jesus was once asked a question about life, about events and purposes that have changed. And, you know, we're in a slightly different time, but the circumstances of life still tend to be much the same as they were 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, that people die, people get cancer, bad things go on, marriages break down, divorces happen, bad stuff happens. Amen? Bad things happen. And how we respond to those issues is so much what actually makes a difference between abundant living, between revival and survival. And he asks the question in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through to 6, and then concludes it with an interesting story. And often we separate out the discussion, the dialogue, and we separate away from that the story or the parable he uses to describe what goes on. So in Luke 13 verse 1 it says this, "Now there were some present at that time who had told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." This is not nice. Some Galileans had gone up to the temple, there had been a slight revolt, people had been killed, and just to rub it into the noses of the Jews, he'd actually got the blood of the humans and mixed it up with the temple sacrifices. I mean, it was horribly blasphemous. And so they're asking question, they're asking Jesus the question, why? Why? What? We never ask that question, do we? "Do you think the Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans who had suffered this way?" And Jesus responds and says, "No, unless you too repent." And I'm going to just change out the word repent for a moment because it's a word that has lots of negative religious baggage. Okay, it's a great word, but can I change out that word and simply say, unless you change, you too will also perish. Bit friendlier word, change. Unless you transform, you too will perish. Or of the 18 who died at the Tower of Siloam, when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you too change, you too will also perish. And then he told him this parable. So the parable is connected to the dialogue, to the question of why, what, how. Why is there bad things in this world? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Those difficult questions. And the parable seems a little bit unrelated. And by God's help today, I want to pull these two things together today. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. An interesting place to put a fig tree. But hey, it's his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years, say 3 years. For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Why should it take up the space? And the man replies, sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. It's good. If not, then cut it down. So these two, the dialogue, the question, is connected with this particular parable. And there's a couple of principles I'll draw from this. The first is the principle of uncertainty. Jesus makes it clear that these people perish in these disasters not because of their sinfulness, but because they live on the planet Earth, that bad things happen in this world. You know, we just have a look at the news these days and it's pretty depressing, isn't it? You look at the situation in Ukraine, who would ever believe that we would see, you know, World War II, World War I conditions revisited again in Europe in this modern age like this? When we look at interest rates, when we look at what's happening with people now, apparently are unable to tell the difference now between a man and a woman. My theory is that a computer is female. Because if you push the right buttons, it works. But maybe it's male because it's good when it works. We're in a strange world, aren't we, where people don't know their gender, their sex, they don't know who they are. We are lost. We are seeing situations now where cities are having more people sleeping on the streets than off the streets, where drugs are free, where whole generations are going missing. And you've got to say, dear Jesus, where are we going? It's a hard, difficult world. But Jesus turns on all this and he makes it more personal. Life is uncertain. And the last time I checked, there's a 100% mortality rate for all Australians. There's 100%. None of us get out alive. That's good news if you understand the gospel. Life is uncertain. Life is fragile to be handled with care and no one gets out alive. Therefore, what we do is we embrace change. We embrace transformation because if we don't, we end up then with loss and destruction. That's the principle of uncertainty. Then there's the principle of eternity. See, none of this stuff really matters down here. You've got an iPhone 14. I'm going to have an iPhone 2020 if I live long enough. You know, it's not about your car, your badges, your rewards, the certificates, all the things that the world wants to gather around itself to give security, significance, and that sense of self-worth. They are fragile. They will all burn. I have some strange habits. I'm known to be a little bit strange, but I actually like going to graveyards. Not at night. It's a bit spooky at night. Go during the daytime. Go to an older one. And up at Jarrodale, there's an old, almost a pioneer cemetery, and you walk past and you look at some of the stories and, you know, people have lived for like 15 years. You know, they've died young or tragically in childbirth. And some have these beautiful gravestones over them, which would suggest that there's a family that loved them and valued them. And there'll be something like, you know, he was my best friend, or this was the best wife ever. I'm going to get that one. for my, no, I better wait for, no, yeah, that's different. Honey, I bought you a present. Here's your gravestone. You're the best wife ever. I don't know if she'd like that present. And you go through that, and then you see the stories and some of the changes. And now you go and you look at some of the more modern graves. You know, they've got a shrine of, you know, cans of rum and crocodiles and unicorns and all these sorts of things over them. But I tell you what, you suddenly realise it's a short life, very short life. And if there is something beyond the material, this is material, but what moves it is immaterial. There's the great metaphysical miracle they still can't figure out. My mind, that cannot be found under a microscope, chooses to move this hand. Everything in this world moves, not out of the material, but something out of the immaterial, the life force, the psyche, the soul, the spirit, whatever you want to call it. You're more than your body. Your body's just the taxi car. It's the Uber that takes you around. And one day you'll get to change taxis and you get to live in eternity forever and ever and ever. So the biggest question we'll ever do is, what do we need to do in the fact that you're going to live forever with God or forever without God? It's the really big question. You will live forever. Where is a good question? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live, and even though he dies, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And of course we say, yes, we do. So in our modern language, Jesus would say, don't worry about the tens of thousands of people who die in tidal waves and earthquakes and famine. Don't worry about the Ukraine. It's no different for you. Life is fragile. You don't know, do you? The other day, I was at the stop sign and I was about to turn right into Southwest Highway, and I don't know what happened, but I think we had a mystery truck just hide behind the side pylon. Didn't see it. And I was just a little bit quick off the mark. I turned in front and all of a sudden I hear, Mark! And smoke everywhere. And this truck driver, I think he was yelling at me. I don't think they were nice words either. And in a moment, I hadn't seen it. It was that quick. And if it hadn't been for God's grace and maybe a few very tired angels, I wouldn't be here today. We don't know, do we? We don't know. And here's the gift of today, is that we're going to ask God what he wants you to do now. Don't assume a year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that's all going to be the same. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding from his mouth. It's the proceeding word from God that keeps us spiritually alive. Man shall not live by what comes externally into his body to keep him alive. Man shall really live. Humans shall live by what comes from the very breath of God into our lives even this day. That living crystal word from God. So Jesus then moves on to tell us a story. So we move from the principle of uncertainty to the principle of eternity. Eternity is a very long time. Turn to your neighbour and say, it's a long time. It's just not the weekend. So Jesus now tells a story about the principle of productivity. He is the master teacher, and he uses one of the most simplest of stories to tell us of the most profound truths. Don't you love Jesus? You can really just get really incredible things from such simple little stories. And he wants to talk to us about fruitfulness. This is the genius of Jesus, to talk to us about the most complex of problems in a very simple form. The authentic Jesus following, something that this church is focused on as a Christian family for this year, you know, to live as Jesus lives, to be like Jesus wherever you go. to do that is measured substantially in fruitfulness, being fruitful. And God wants all of us to be fruitful. Doesn't want you to be a fruit, just wants you to be fruitful. There's a difference. And the fruitfulness isn't necessarily the works that we would celebrate as churches, you know, winning so many souls to Jesus or building so many churches or giving so much money to missions. They are works. The fruit that Jesus is more expecting is something that we all get to compete on. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's very simple. It's how much are you like Jesus? The destiny that every son of God has, that every daughter of God has, the destiny we have is that you are going to be made to be like Jesus. Oh dear. That should be the thing that rings our bell more than anything else. Because if you are like Jesus, then the world in which you live will be more peaceful, more joyful, more loving, more kind, more good, more ordered, more control than the world where Jesus doesn't live. You understand that? Where you go, you take the kingdom of God with you. And it's described in fruit. It's described in these wonderful attributes, these emotional attributes. So can you be more loving, agape-centered? It's easy to love nice people, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to love Pastor Pauline, isn't it? You know, it's just, she's easy to love. Easy to love Pastor Aaron. It's not so easy to love the others, is it? Have you met some people that are more difficult to love? Some of you are smiling at me. Some of you are looking at your husband. I was doing some marriage counselling once many years ago, and the husband said, oh, I don't love her anymore. And says, well, you know, God commands you in his Bible, in the Bible, God commands the husband to love their wives. I thought I'd get one amen from the girls. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, okay. He says, no, I can't do that. He says, well, the Bible says, you know, you've got to love your neighbour because you treat her as least your neighbour. Because the Bible also says that to love God and to love your neighbour. He says, no, I can't do that. Can't do that at all. He says, well, I'm sorry, there's no getting out of this. The Bible also commands you to love for your love your enemies. Pray, that ability to pray. Can you be more loving? Okay. Can Jesus in you be more loving? Can the Holy Spirit in you help you to be more of a lover of people? Can Jesus in you help you to be more joyful? Can the Jesus in you help you to be more love, joy, peaceful? Can the Jesus in you help you to be more good, goodness? Can the Jesus in you help you to be more doing more random acts of kindness? I love this. It's if you get a revelation to do this, it will revel. The other day, you know, there's a lady just struggling. Her card at the supermarket didn't work. It was for $20 or something like that. And I move up and just, hey, can I do that for you? Ting, ting. Isn't that neat? I don't know if she ever gets saved. It wasn't the best sermon I ever preached. It was just an act of kindness. Her world was a better world today because God was working in my life to just show a little bit of kindness. Can we do that? Can we get to a place where we say, God, we are actively wanting to be more like Jesus, to get beyond the concept of it, which is wonderful and inspiring, but into the practice of it, that you'll take Jesus with you. You may be the only Jesus that someone may see. You may be their only representatives. So there is the corporate dimension. The fig tree is a parable of the nation of Israel. So corporately, Grace City Church can be more loving, more peaceful, more kind, more good, all those wonderful attributes. As a personal attribute, we can do that. And there's the environmental aspect of it. The owner of the vineyard says, you've got to take it out because it's wasting the soil. It destroys the soil. It's making the soil there useless. And it is one of the reasons why God wants us to connect together as church and as empower houses, because we need to be working with dirt. I'm dirt, you're dirt, we're blood, mud, we are human beings, and the gospel is worked out in the context of people, not in sterile laboratories, not in the grandstand looking at the gameplay. It's worked with real people who are going through real challenge at times, so that when they are needing help, you can help them. And then when you need help, they can help you. That's the kingdom of God. That is actually the way it's meant to work. And don't become isolated. Don't become disconnected. Join with others. Be a part of the community that loves and supports each other. So Jesus speaks about one more year, just putting a timeline. But now is the time for change. It's the catalyst to take responsibility, to say, okay, what can I do to allow God to work in my life more than I did last year? And it's the real question is not so much why am I still here, but why are you still alive? Because if you're still alive, then God still has a purpose for your life here. True? If he didn't have a reason for your being here, you would have gone to heaven, be up there singing with the angels. Be nice. If you're here, that means God's not finished with you. That's good news. If you're here, it means there's one more year for fruitfulness. In 2010, the US National Transportation Safety Board said that a crash last year at the Washington subway station that killed 9 people had partly happened because the train dispatchers had been ignoring 9,000 alarms per week. Air traffic controllers, nuclear plant operators, nurses in intensive care units and others do the same. People ignore alarms. They ignore the warnings. The warning is we are mortal, and therefore because we're mortal, let's live life on purpose for God's glory. And God will absolutely come and work alongside of us. So there's a guy called Sam. Sam likes to go fishing. Sam's method of fishing is to get dynamite, light the dynamite, throw it into the water. It's not very good, but it's very effective. You catch lots of fish doing that. Anyway, the local warden of the park that has banned this practice of catching fish using dynamite has gone out in his boat, and he finds Sam's got a boatload of fish. And the warden says to the park ranger, says to Sam, says, Sam, I believe you've been using dynamite to catch this fish, and it's against the law. So you're in trouble, man. And what Sam does is he takes out a stick of dynamite, lights it up, throws it to Sam. Sam naturally catches it. He's holding the dynamite and says, so are you going to keep complaining or are you going to fish? It's one of those moments where you've got to think, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to keep complaining, keep whinging, or are you going to say, God, it's still in front of me. It's still something you want me to do. And who knows what that one act of kindness can do in passing things forward. So Jesus said in John chapter 16 that it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit, the counselor, I can't send him to you. So it's better that I send him away. Now, for most Christians, if we're honest, we would say, would you prefer Jesus to be here today, resurrected and glorified, or would you prefer the Holy Spirit to be here today? And if we're really honest, we'd say, give me Jesus. Eh? That'd be really neat, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd all be on our faces and crying out, you know, God, I'm sorry, don't take me. But it would be so wonderful. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. It's better that I go away and that I send you the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit's going to give you things that you can't have now. You can't bear them now, but you'll be able to bear them a little bit longer. Further on. So I'll send you the Holy Spirit, And all that the Father has, he has given to me. And the Holy Spirit will then reveal it to you. So everything you need is now located in the Godhead who wants to deliver that to you today through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to guide, to teach, to encourage, to speak, to teach. And he's here today. And Jesus says, it's better that he's here than I am. The Holy Spirit. And so we know we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I used to think grieving the Holy Spirit was a lot like, I did something wrong, got my picture taken down because I broke the speeding laws of West Australia, and therefore I've grieved him. But I've come to realise, no, it's more like the grief that you experience when you lose a loved one. You know, where mum might have died or, you know, dad's gone on and whatever. And so it's the loss of relationship that you grieve in that case. That's the mourning of a relationship. And there's an intimate relationship, the Holy Spirit. The language in James is jealousy. He passionately desires to have an intimate communion with you. This is God, God in the third person, the creative force of the universe, wants to have an intimate relationship with you and to speak with you on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. Wants to speak to you more than Siri does or Alexa or any GPS that wants to guide you. Absolutely there. So what I'm just going to ask you to do now is I'm just going to ask you to, as try as you can, just to actually wrap yourself in your spiritual space with the Holy Spirit right now. Close your eyes. Just center in on the person of Jesus. And just say something like, here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. And I'm listening. Speak to me today about how I can be more like Jesus. Where could I be more loving, more joyful, more patient, more kindness, more self-control, more temperance? Lord, speak to me where you would like that fruit to start popping out in my life. We talk about intimacy with God, and I like to play with words a little bit, but into me see. The God of intimacy is the God who's into me see. He sees. He knows. He knows your fears. He knows your struggles. He knows your worries. He knows your sleeplessness. He knows your energy. He sees. But he also speaks. He also speaks. And then I'm just going to ask you to do something really very simple and just say, pray. Okay, Lord, if that's you, help me. Can you do that? Help me to do it, Lord. And can I also just say, it could be something really big and scary, or it could be something so simple as, I'll make my wife a cup of tea. Whatever he says, do it. John chapter 2, we've got the miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine. And, you know, great story of how God can take, you know, the natural. These are waters of purification. They're not necessarily clean waters, nice waters, or whatever. They're dishwashing liquid, if you like, dishwashing. And he turns it into wine. And the key is, Mary says, the mother of Jesus, whatever he tells you to do it, do it. Whatever he tells you, do it. Might be to write a letter. Might be to pick up a phone. Might be to talk to a stranger. It might be something so simple. But if you'll do it, you are activating the life of Jesus in the world in a bigger and better way than before. Amen? It's what it looks like. You talking to God and you doing what God asks you to do. That's how we walk as he walks and do as he does, by following what he has told us what to do. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. And, Lord, I've been a little bit stumbly today, so I apologize. But, Lord, we do pray that not one person here today will walk out without hearing today's living word for them. Man does not live by bread alone. Lord, we like the bread, but it's the bread alone. We try to live on just the external. Lord, we live on that which is internal as well. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, you were quoting, as it were, you know, the picking up of the manna and how yesterday's manna turned to worms. Lord, we need today's word, Lord, what you're saying today for each of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the word. As the worship team is just getting ready, I'd just like to do a brief recap for all of us. Three principles that Pastor Mike shared with us this morning: the principle of uncertainty, principle of eternity, principle of productivity. And Pastor Mike has hit the nail on its head, because we want to be more Christ-like. We want to be able to bear fruit of the Spirit, not so much about fruit in terms of just the works, but to be fruitful in the Spirit. And I like just three things that he mentioned that I thought that is good for us to remember. Other than to be more Christ-like, we want to not ignore alarms and warnings. Right? Live life with God's intended purpose for us and for his glory. And to do all of that, we need to hear from him. Amen? We need to hear from him not 30 years ago. We need to hear from him not yesterday. We need to hear from him today and every day. And hearing is just half of it. We need to also translate that hearing into doing, into action as well. Amen? We all got that. Shall we stand and shall we respond to the Lord with this worship song?